side joint. Ooh, cult side joint.
Hello, Amryn, and happy Cult Side Join Day to you. I've deemed today Cult Side Join Day. How are you today?
Hello, Jesse. Well, on the occasion that it is Cult Side Join Day, I am doing fantabulous, really top of the day for me. I would say top of the morning, but of course it isn't morning. So what can I say? Not that.
Could be where you guys are, though. Top of the morning to you, if indeed it is morning.
Top of the time of the day to you.
I don't keep up on how the planet works, but I do notice that y'all over in Australia are always the first ones to listen to us when our new episode bops out. So top of the morning to you, Aussies, and your neighbors.
Wish you a great day, if that's the case. And thanks for starting your day with us or doing whatever time of the day that you're doing with us. We're really happy to be here talking cults. If you were here last week, you even know what we're talking about today, but we won't get to that yet.
I'm going to get there. Exciting. First, I wanted to give just a little shout out to, we've been talking about it, but we're going to keep talking about it. So just get used to it. Our Facebook group, Cult Side Join Spiritual Besties, where you are all welcome to jump in. We created the group so that people other than us could start conversations, and y'all are starting conversations, and it is just endless fun. Like every day I laugh out loud because somebody gives me like some awesome notification from you guys. But I just wanted to read this one because I thought it was especially funny. And it's a reply from Joseph, who is one of our truly our besties. And
a devotee.
Yeah, like a devotee, I think would be.
Devotee.
I don't know what the number one person in a cult is. Maybe like the Smithers, right? Like
it's tough because so many cults have chosen names for like right-hand men and then those guys have done like really bad things.
Right,
and I don't want to ascribe any of those things to this particular human. So yeah. I'm scared. I think Smithers is a great kind of neutral title. It's not that I don't want to give you a cooler name. It's just that so many of them have been eaten up.
Smithers is great, though, because he's morality neutral.
So neutral.
He'll do whatever his boss tells him to do, and he's always a little like, okay, but
Mind of his own as well, which you love.
We'll think about it. We'll love to see a little spirit.
Yes.
Joseph, let us know what your preference is. But so Bonnie just posted here. Bonnie's one of our new followers. She's fabulous. And she wrote, "Cults I join is the cult I join," which alone made me really happy and might become a tattoo at some point. And then Joseph said, "I mean, a focus on snacks, attractive leaders, encouragement of discussion, promotion of hair braiding. They've got this really cool bear suit for me."
Yes.
What's not to love?
A favorite moment for me. I loved seeing that. It made me giggle with glee, I would say. I kicked my heels together because I was like, wow, these people truly get us. And also, yeah, we're having so much fun over there. There are so many little niche memes. There are TikToks in the feed. There are jokes. There are cat pictures. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. What's holding you back from jumping in and having a great
time? We'll see you over there. It's the best place to be. Yeah, we're going to give you all our culty goodness all week long. Also, over on our Apple reviews, thank you guys for coming over, giving us reviews. Please keep that up. If you are listening to this and have not reviewed us, please hippity hop on over there. I'm just going to note that a lot of people have used the term heartbreaking when they talk about Amryn and I's lives on our comedy podcast. So our apologies to you if we have been breaking your hearts with the true stories of our lives that I think neither of us thought were downers.
I don't know. I've been in therapy a long time.
Me too.
So
it's
tough because on some level I do know, but on another level I don't, and I will. Also, to be fair, I don't know if they're saying that our stories are heartbreaking or they're saying that sometimes we talk about heartbreaking stuff, because some of the stuff we talk about is very serious. Let us know.
I feel like it's always in reference to us specifically.
I think you're right. I'm like trying to give us an out here, but I really think ultimately you are correct in what you're saying.
They're like, that group suicide is sad, but geez, Jesse had a bad dad.
But Jesse seems like she had a tough relationship with her father. And that really gets me. No, that's, I mean, Yeah, we're here to discuss the good, the bad, and the ugly. And it's, I don't know, the good, the bad, and the funny is usually what it is for us. But we are sorry if it's too heartbreaking. And let us know if we need to get some sort of like rainbow button, you know, like something that's just like, bah, bah, you know, something that makes everybody feel just like a little bit serotonin-y or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I saw a great meme today that was like a picture of a bunch of different rainbows and it like in the sky, like just pretty rainbows. And it said, the gays are at it again.
Yeah. They're always doing that.
Thanks, you guys. Anyway, so just I'm just acknowledging that apparently our stories are heartbreaking. I do kind of get what you guys are referencing. I have sometimes been accused of being on the spectrum and I'll never know if I am or not because I don't know what's nature versus nurture having grown up in a weird background. So I'll never know. But I've said this before and I'll say it again. I did directly ask my therapist who's been seeing me for a long time and she said, and I quote, no, that's just your face.
So. All right. Very good.
Take that as you will. I don't know if I'm cutting down on all the rotisserie chickens and cakes I'm going to be offered by advertising myself like that.
Certainly not. Hard to imagine it.
In any case, let's get down to the topic at hand. Guys, this is our first cult versus cult episode. And for the past two weeks, we've been having to just sludge through the murky Neverland that is QAnon. And we have trudged through it. We've gotten to the other side. We're out of the pit of despair. We didn't lose our horse like in the never ending story. We made it to the other side. We're never going back there. And now we get to go to the other side of cult versus cult, which is the second cult in our cult battle today. So this is because it's a versus, we're going to decide at the end which one of these cults we would join, who would win in a fight, what each one would bring to a potluck, all of these important things that you need to know when it's cult versus cult. So today we are going into Amarin. Do you remember who QAnon is up against in cult versus cult?
I sure do. Coming in as a strong contender, heavyweight, I'd say, we have Birds Aren't Real.
Yay! All right, guys, we're going to hop right into it. And Birds Aren't Real it's formatted in a different enough way that I'm not able to draw from a ton of different people's experience with it like I often am with other groups I cover. So a lot of this I'm just going to read verbatim both from their website and from an article about them. So let's get into it. This is an article from The Guardian by Zoe Williams. Here we go. Should we tell our listeners about the punchline of this one or should we just carry on?
I think we should just carry on. I honestly think it's funnier if we carry on. I do want to share just the smallest personal anecdote, which is just that I experienced Birds Aren't Real firsthand. This isn't going to spoil anything about this, but whenever I was in college, I went to Drury University, shout out, and I lived in Springfield, Missouri. And
Drury University, top 10% of the nation. Go ahead.
Oh, well, they call me and ask for money every year to keep that up. And I am not making enough to give back, guys. Let's just stop calling me if you're listening. But I saw the marketing for Birds Aren't Real, which I'm just going to, this is the only thing I'll spoil. It's very simple marketing. It literally is just the words Birds Aren't Real usually plastered around places. It just appeared all over town. And I experienced it as many did in real time, completely out of context, just seeing this everywhere, never getting anything explained to me.
Which is
and
the point. That's
probably why I just want us to go in blind right now, is because that was the amazing experience that I had. And it honestly brought me, this feels like a very college thing to say, but such a high level of joy in that dark time to just see these weird little signs around. I'm just at the mud house, Birds Aren't Real. You know, parking my car, Birds Aren't Real.
Birds Aren't Real.
Love it. That's all.
Have you seen any of their like further, like I have a Birds Aren't Real t-shirt that says bird watching goes both ways.
Yeah.
It's got like a pigeon with a little surveillance camera on its head.
I've seen the, it's the, I think, exact same icon that you're talking about, but I have seen this camera head pigeon situation. I've seen quite a few different little iterations, but yes, I love it. Let's jump in.
Okay, let's do it. All right. So first I'm going to read from the website first. Here are a couple of just FAQs about Birds Aren't Real. So Birds Aren't Real is a movement. What is this movement's purpose? Here we go. According to Birds Aren't Real's own website, the Birds Aren't Real movement exists to spread awareness that the U.S. government genocide over 12 billion birds. Oh, genocided as a verb. Mm-hmm. They genocided over 12 billion birds from 1959 to 2001 and replaced these birds with surveillance drone replicas, which still watch us every day. Once a preventative cause, our initial goal was to stop the forced extinction of real birds. Unfortunately, this was unsuccessful, and the government has since replaced every living bird with robotic replicas. Now our movement's prerogative is to make sure everyone is aware of this fact. Amber, we're coming in hot. What are your thoughts on this so far, on just the purpose of the movement?
Purpose of the movement, you know, coming together. Learning, education, strength and community. I love it. You know, we're here mm-hmm. to educate the masses. They've got to know.
Yeah, right. That's true. You have to, you don't know what you don't know.
Exactly. And birds may not be real. How do you know? You know, mm-hmm. do you know? Now, I feel like as when this hit me, I was especially not susceptible to this because I was a weird, weird, like nature girly, as I think you probably were also, Jesse. Mm-hmm. And so I was always like help. I was always like nursing baby birds back to health, you know, like a bird would be in the front yard.
Like
an idiot, because like, why mm-hmm. would you do that? But I was doing that all the time, especially at this time in college. I had like a squirrel, well, I think, at the time you knew me. Yeah. Right. Yes, right. Right. Exactly. Yeah, well, the squirrels are real, but I, yes. you know, so I helped some birds and they were so convincing when I helped them as like living, breathing beings that it was hard for me to believe they weren't real is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Really convincing yeah. con job.
Also, just as an aside, if you go to the Birds Aren't Real website, there's a lot of like neon colors and flashing things and scrolling banners. It very much looks like the Heaven's Gate website that was made in the 90s. So, all right, here's the next one. What do you mean birds aren't real? The term birds aren't real refers to biological, in quotation marks, birds no longer existing on United States soil. After the government forcibly made the entire species extinct in the 20th century, all of these real birds were replaced with surveillance drones designed to look just like birds. To simplify, mm-hmm. birds no longer exist in the U.S. as a biological life form. Thus, birds aren't real. Exactly. Okay, so then the next logical question is, what are eggs? If birds aren't mm-hmm. real, what are eggs? Okay.
Naturally, right
a
to
solid
the point.
Question.
You
a
know
solid...
they were lying if they weren't addressing the facts immediately. But here this they are, is, yeah. right to the root of the issue. Eggs.
This is what I so wanted to say. They're mm-hmm. not shying away from the important question.
No.
The eggs we see in the 21st century are specifically designed by the government to appear indistinguishable mm-hmm. from what eggs once were when birds were real. When the government replaced the species with robotic replicas, it was key that these replicas sustained the same activities that their biological predecessors did, including producing edible eggs. All right, here's the next question. Also, like, good critical thinking. These are important questions to ask before you jump into a cult. What is bird poop? Okay, if birds aren't real, what is bird poop? Bird poop was originally thought to be oil discharged from earlier bird drone models. Mm-hmm. After further research, though, this was disproven. Bird poop irregularly falls on vehicles in large amounts. Recent studies show that 87% of bird poop in populated areas falls on people's cars. Why is this? Confidential documents leaked in 2018 revealed that bird poop is actually a form of liquidating tracking apparatus. If you walk outside and notice some bird poop just, quote, happened to fall on your car, be aware that you are now being tracked by the United States government. It is recommended that you clean your car exterior regularly to avoid this. Okay, another logical question. How do you explain bird meat? All quote
game
found in
the
quote
old
game. Birds. I know. So, I mean, at this point, don't we just want to believe them? They've given us so much good documentation
already. It's obvious
already.
They're right, but if we must go on.
If we must, let them indulge us. All meat found in birds today is 100% synthetic. If birds suddenly became inedible, the government's entire scheme would have been compromised. This makes sense. In order for their transition from real bird to drone replica to make sense, they had to imitate all parts of real birds in their robot copies. This includes tasty, edible meat, just synthetic. Synthetic meat is actually very accessible in modern times, with many fast food operations openly using it in their meals. The government simply had access to these modern technologies decades before the public. Okay.
I say, do you like McDonald's? You say, yes. I say, same thing.
Yeah, you understand.
Exactly, yes. The same thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. What about birds that people hunt or roadkill? How do you explain bird guts? This entire question is based off of a flawed understanding of what a robot is. With major technological advances only recently being made in the 20th century, many still think that a robot can only be a metallic machine with gears and wires. Bird drones are not this.
Ridiculous.
It is. I mean, get with where it's 2024.
Advanced robotics laughs at you, sir.
It really, I mean, I'm embarrassed for anybody that's still asking these questions. Mm-hmm. The government has access to futuristic technologies, making it possible to create a robot using parts indistinguishable from a biological organism. After all, if the robot replicas didn't look and feel exactly like real birds, inside and out, the entire plot would be exposed. Now here we go. Here's the quote meat of the subject. Where did all the dead birds go? Wouldn't people have seen them?
No.
Within the Birds Aren't Real movement, it is common knowledge that the government killed 12 billion birds before 2001 by releasing a virus that only affected the bird species. After the bioweapon was sprayed down from B-52 bombers, you know, the B-52 bombers that are just still flying around in the sky.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The virus spread throughout all birds like wildfire and made them all sick. The virus was designed to slowly disintegrate the birds, a form of advanced leprosy. Biblical. Now
weaponized leprosy.
Back to the Bible. This is why there weren't 12 billion birds littering the ground of the nation. As their robot counterparts were released into the public, they were disintegrated into dust, blown away with the wind. For every bird disintegrated by the virus, a robotic replica was put in its place. Wow, every bird.
It's a guesstimation, you know. Technology was, you know, I hear them saying that, but we know that really there was just a guy in the office releasing as many electronic birds as he could based off of his mathematical calculation of the rate of dying. You know, how could he have known? I know what Jerry was up to, so.
Duh.
I'm a true fan.
I have a pet bird. What do I do? Okay. All right. So now we're in. People understand this is real. Now we're asking the practical questions.
Now we get to, now we're getting to some real bolts of the issue.
The nuts and bolts. Yeah. I have a pet bird. What do I do? Not to startle you, but you have a highly advanced governmental surveillance drone in your house, watching your every movement, picking up every word of your conversations, and sending that data into the Pentagon. Quote, pet birds were actually unheard of before 2001 when all birds became surveillance drones. At this time, the government started a propaganda campaign normalizing pet birds. If you think about it, a pet bird in a cage doesn't even make sense. The animals are supposed to have endless sky to explore, not be held within a cage in a house. You would be best advised not to bring up any matters you'd prefer to remain confidential around your, quote, pet bird.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Guys,
it's
sobering
when you think about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Check your house. If there are any pet birds, this is a time to like deal with that.
Yeah. I would just send them back to the Pentagon, if you know what I mean.
Show them, although you have to be careful because you don't want the Pentagon to know that you're on to them.
No, in a very casual way. You know, like you should like maybe take the bird for a walk in the cage. Trip, fall, drop the cage. Oh, no. Take a really long time to pick it back up, you know?
Yeah.
Uh-oh, bird gets away. Now, the bird's going to want to stay because, again, it's trying to surveil you.
Doing its job.
So you're going to want to just get home immediately. Don't even pick up the cage. Just get home.
Get home.
Lock the doors and don't open your windows. Soundproof everything, as you were saying. So it's just a very pretty specific strategy, but you'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Do different birds mean different things? Are they all surveillance drones? Okay. While most birds are designed specifically for public surveillance purposes, this does not mean that is all that the government is doing with them. Bird drones can have multiple applications based on type. For example, vultures are not surveillance drones. They are used for public sanitation because they pick up roadkill. Another example is hummingbirds, which are used as assassination drones. Watch out. Let me just say that again, you guys. Hummingbirds equal assassination drones. Spearing targets with their long needle beaks.
Nan had no idea what she was up to with that sugar water.
Is this movement serious? Can you imagine?
Are you joking?
These questions?
Who would have that question at this point?
All these people have is the audacity. All right, let's see what Birds Aren't Real has to say. Yes, the Birds Aren't Real movement has been active since 1976. Once a preventative cause, our initial goal was to stop the genocide of real birds. Unfortunately, this was unsuccessful. Now our movement's prerogative is to make everyone aware of this fact. Let's see, next question. Is this only in the U.S.? Do other governments do this too? Unfortunately, the bird drone problem exists in other countries as well, and they are more open about it, in fact. The Chinese government has openly admitted to surveillance drones disguised as birds. You can look that up. Do your own research.
Look it up right now. Right now,
Russia. Russia and other countries have openly admitted to testing this as well. The only difference with the U.S. is that the government isn't as open and honest about it. All right. Now, here's another useful question. Finally, back to useful things. I've encountered a bird in my life. What should I do? Should I be concerned? Okay. First, breathe. Remain calm. It is vital not to panic and remember that this experience is not abnormal. These birds have likely been watching you for most of your life. Once you have regained your composure, look the bird straight in the eyes and declare the following statement confidently. I know your secret. I know that you are a surveillance drone in disguise. I know that behind those beady eyes are cameras soaking up data and sending it to the Pentagon. I am onto you. I know you are not real. By vocally establishing dominance over the drone in this moment, your fears should subside, allowing you to remember that you are the human and this is merely a robot.
That's right. Establish dominance.
Yeah. So that's the gist of the Birds Aren't Real movement. Amarin, any questions?
No. How could I have any questions? I think very straightforward. Did we mention... Wait. Do you have any other historical facts that you would like to share about the movement?
I can go into the about a little bit. And then I've also got an actual article about Birds Aren't Real with the creator of the movement in an interview. Magical. So I will get over to that next. But that's everything I have for this part of it. Yes.
Perfect.
There is a whole history. So I can, you need that, I can jump to it. But it's extensive.
I do not. I mainly was wondering if you were going to talk about the, of course, the associated assassination with the Birds Aren't Real movement, which is, it's weighty. There's had big implications on our government, the mass extinction of birds. I don't have any questions. I'm all in. And... got to keep an eye out for the birds. I do want to say that I was terrified to discover some time ago that the Chinese government straight up did use bird drones. That's all. Moving on. That's real.
China, you're making things hard for us.
You make it scary. You make it scary sometimes, guys.
You really double down on making us wonder what level of reality we're living in. Here, I'm going to read you just a little bit of the about. The about is several chapters long, but I'm going to read you a little excerpt from it. So the about is kind of like the story of the person who started, the whistleblower. That's the word I'm looking for. This is the CIA whistleblower that let us all know about the Birds Aren't Real movement. So he says, in 1947, the CIA was founded. Its sole responsibility was to watch and survey tens of thousands of Americans suspected of doing communist things. This orchestrated a stalking epidemic, which went on for about 5 years, and few were found guilty of any real crimes. However, it became clear in the early 1950s that the threat of communism was only going to rise, and a broader system was needed to track any individual who was suspected of such activity. The fears were only encouraged when in 1951, Julius and Ethel Rosenberg, we remember them, were wrongly arrested and convicted of espionage against the United States, accused of spying on behalf of the Soviet Union. This is at a time when we understood that the Soviet Union was not a good guy. This highly publicized event gave the government a small window to implement a new program that would place the first CCTV surveillance cameras in areas with high Russian immigrant concentrations. Thus, the Birds Aren't Real movement. Well, thus, the bird drones were begun. So then it goes on from there. But this is the tale of the CIA guy who blew the whistle and kind of let us know what was going on.
I see. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that I've just kind of given you the thrust of the Birds Aren't Real movement. Now, as far as like day to day life in the Birds Aren't Real movement, it's very much like QAnon in that you don't live together. You're not like all having a communal meal together. But like I said, I have a Birds Aren't Real t-shirt. So if I'm out in the wild and I see another person with a Birds Aren't Real t-shirt on, obviously, you know, I know that.
You know.
They know too, right? Like it's not just
exactly.
I'm not alone in this. So when I see other people out with Birds Aren't Real t-shirts on, then I really, you know, I know that, well, we can kind of
safer in a way.
Well, we can, you know, we can acknowledge each other. We like, we know that we have each other's backs, right? There's another great Birds Aren't Real t-shirt that says, if it flies, it spies.
That's great. I really like that one.
I thought you would. Yeah.
Very catchy.
Yeah.
Very catchy.
Yeah. So great swag, I will say, because QAnon, a lot of their swag is very flag oriented, but Birds Aren't Real is just putting it out there for you. Birds aren't real.
They're not real. That's it.
That's all there is to it. You know, and now that we've read the FAQ, we too have educated ourselves and we're able to go out, you know, and then when people say stupid things like, what's an egg then? You know, we can obviously explain.
No. Well, then why is
that? That's an advanced technology.
Right. We know why there's bird poop. It certainly makes sense. And when is the government not covering things up? So.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're greedy. They want all our information. Facebook.
That's exactly why we have the Freedom of Information Act.
Precisely. So hard for me to see any reason other than doing my own research and finding my own evidence that this could possibly not be true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm at an end. Yeah.
All right. So now I'm going to read to you the article from The Guardian about the founder of Birds Aren't Real, who is an adorable little guy in his early 20s. Mm-hmm.
Yes, he
who
is.
Sadly has a girlfriend, but it's fine. I guess I'll let you guys in on the punchline in case you hadn't picked up on it by now. Birds Aren't Real isn't, they're not serious. Mm-mm. They're not serious. This is a tongue-in-cheek movement in direct response to the QAnon movement in which they copy every single tactic of QAnon. Do your own research. This one guy said this other thing, and here's his whistleblower report that is typed up, so it's obviously true. A lot of buzzwords, a lot of like, you know, just conspiracy theories that have answers to back them up. What's bird poop? Well, here, idiot, here's what bird poop is.
It really
just shadows everything that the QAnon movement does to highlight what their tactics are and what nonsense can be plugged into the pattern, right? Or the formula, right? The conspiracy theorist formula of here's my crazy idea, here's all this nonsense to back it up, that none of it has any like scientific backing or anything I can actually prove, but it's written down, and if it's written down, it must be true. And you know, so Birds Aren't Real just does that. So I'm going to read you the article from The Guardian. It's an interview about the founder of Birds Aren't Real and an interview with him intermingled. So here we go.
Yes.
All right. So On a march, oh, we've got a picture of him here that you guys can't see. You guys should look him up. His name is Peter McIndo, big M, little C, big I, N-D-O-E, McIndo, held up a sign and talked about the deep state and how it had replaced all birds with drones. This was meant as a small act of satire, but has become a mass movement. In early 2017, Peter McIndo, now 25, was studying psychology at the University of Arkansas. He was another homeschooled kid from our area. Shout out.
Yeah. Dude,
have you gone to prom with this guy by chance, Amarin? Have you do-si-do'd with him?
I rejected this guy from prom because, of course, I would not be allowed to do such a heathen dance. But do-si-do, now that's a question we should be asking. I legitimately sometimes wonder if I did run into this person because of how small these communities are. But
yeah, and we are talking about the Ozark. Like, we're in southern Missouri, they're in northern Arkansas, so we are in the same, like,
I was just like, and I lived, like, I lived even closer to the Arkansas border, as we've talked about, from where I actually lived, from where we were generally at.
Right.
So, yeah, we were always around these parts down near in the Ozark. So that's family, basically, yeah. is what I'm saying.
Good times. So think back to 2017. This is a year after the Trump election. So it was a really crazy, like those of us who.
Horrible time.
Oh, gosh. Those of us who like care about women, want to live and breathe clean air, things like that, were like, really, we were still in a tailspin of like, what the fuck is happening? How is any of this real? So like, tough. We were yeah. really mind blown still in 2017. And along comes this kid who was homeschooled, but and in a conservative setting, just like you were, Amarin, and just like I was when I was homeschooled. But you know, he was one of the kids like you and I who kind of like side-eyed it a little bit, like, wait a minute. I think mm-hmm. dinosaurs are real.
Right. Yes. Wasn't quite convinced.
I'm actually more skeptical about this giant ark you guys keep talking about. So it was the weekend of simultaneous women's marches across the U.S. and the world. And McIndoe looked out of a window and noticed, I believe he was in Nashville, and noticed, I only highlighted part of this, so I'm not reading you the entire very long article, noticed that there were counter protesters who were older, bigger white men. They were clear aggravators. They were encroaching on something that was not their event, and they had no business being there. So what he's saying is this was an anti-Trump protest. This was also like a Me Too movement protest. So he's in Nashville. He's looking out a window down at this protest that's going on. He sees women marching for women's rights. Well, men and women marching for women's rights. And then he sees these men coming in who were QAnon men, who were like pushing people around and like screaming dumb bullshit at them. And so he's kind of just watching this happen. So at that moment, he makes a placard and he goes out to join the march. He says, "It's not like I sat down and thought I'm going to make a satire. I just thought I should write a sign that has nothing to do with what's going on," because that's what these men were doing, right? They were like, exactly. So, an absurdist statement to bring to the equation. The statement was, "Birds aren't real." As he stood with the counter protesters and they asked what his sign meant, he improvised. He said he was part of a movement that had been around for 50 years and was originally started to save American birds, but had failed. The quote, deep state, which is one of QAnon's favorite words.
Yes.
Had destroyed them all and replaced them with surveillance drones. Every bird you see is actually a tiny feathered robot watching you. Someone was filming him and put it on Facebook. It went viral. And things kind of just took off from there. NBC called it a, quote, mass coping mechanism.
it was, I think.
And it now has hundreds of thousands of followers on social media. So a mass coping mechanism. That's good. In the most perfect, playful distillation of where we are in the relationship to the media landscape we've built but can't control, and which only half of us can find our way around, it's a made-up conspiracy theory that is just realistic enough, as conspiracies go, to convince QAnon supporters that birds aren't real, but has just enough satirical flags that Generation Z recognizes immediately what is going on. So that's actually... the best thing about Birds Aren't Real is that people take it seriously.
Yeah.
Like because it is just as feasible as all of these other lizard people. Amarin, pause.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody.
It's not a big stretch. No.
Pause. Two people come up to you with conspiracy theories, and one of them is real. Mm-hmm. One of them is birds aren't real. They're surveillance drones. And one of them is yes. there are lizard people, and that's who all the Democrats in power are. Which one yep. actually sounds more believable to you?
They're honestly surveillance 50/50? Drones. No.
Yeah, no, me too. Yeah, the birds are real.
I was like,
more
I really wanted to say that I was 50/50. I really wanted to be like, well, both are absurd. But I was thinking about it. And again, I'm just going to go back to the fact that the Chinese government has done a program.
Yeah.
I believe it was called like Dove or something.
Along and those, China.
I know. And it was literally surveillance birds. But I've never heard of a lizard person being unveiled in a position of power.
No,
not,
I
not
have
yet
yet
today.
To hear of that.
You know,
yeah.
Hillary Clinton has looked particularly bad in some angles of photos shared by conservatives on Facebook. I'll give them that. Never reptilian, to be honest with you. You know, no matter what angle you get her from, she never looks reptilian. You know,
that's
say what you will
of,
about her.
I mean, a conspiracy theorist would tell you, Amarin, that's all the babies she keeps eating. That's why she doesn't.
Well, shoot.
You fool.
I've been too long since I brushed up on my lizard lore.
Way to show your ass, Ameren.
I am so ashamed of myself. I can't even begin to tell you. But yeah, okay. This is completely fair. Please allow me to stop my foolish blubbering and you can go on with the facts.
So this caught on really quickly because, as he says, here's a nice quote from him, the younger you are, the quicker you get it. So very mm-hmm. quickly, it became a chant at like high school football games and like basically places where young people gather, they would chant, birds aren't real.
Yes.
Which is just excellent. It makes me really happy. So he doesn't do a lot of interviews. He gave one on Spotify. You can find him explaining to sub Rush Limbaugh local radio shock jocks in total seriousness how the CIA was explicitly founded to spy on the American public. So understand, like conservative radio hosts bring him on mm-hmm. They don't know they're being ironic. They are like handed this guy, like they're handed whoever they're going to talk about. And he's a conspiracy theorist and they love conspiracy theorists. So they just have him on. Yep. Right. And so then in all seriousness, he sits down and explains how the CIA was explicitly founded to spy on the American public. And these robot birds were their crowning achievement. And they're listening to us and watching us at all times. He described somberly, but matter-of-factly, the genocide of the real birds, which Birds Aren't Real was tragically unable to prevent. And then the shock jock will typically say something noncommittal like, that's bad.
Yeah. Yes.
Because the shock jock has talked to a bunch of other people with equally or worse, sillier ideas, and none of them are kidding. He's the only one that's kidding. So they don't know he's kidding. Like, this is par for the course. And so they're just like, huh.
It's truly shocking. Sometimes for fun, and I wish I was kidding, I turn on the radio in my car and listen to, because I live in Idaho, for those who are new or don't know that. And I like to just turn on the A radio station, because there's tons of conservative stations, and I like to listen to what they're talking about, like what they're taking like serious time to explain as concepts to each other mm-hmm. and it always gives me a great laugh. And I'm not trying to be condescending, but like, I don't know, I don't think I'm the smartest woman that's ever lived, but sometimes listening to them explain concepts to each other, you'd think they were doing rocket science. And it's something like, well, Todd, if we get enough votes, if enough single people go into the voting booth and they go in, and then eventually, if we got those votes, well, Todd, those votes would become, well, we could win the election. And it takes them like 25 minutes to say that. And right. that is the talk show. No shade, no political statement, not gendered attack. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, I can totally see this conversation going down. And frankly, I'm disappointed I've never turned on the radio here to discover a conversation about mechanical bird surveillance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's my thoughts.
I love it. I love it. So that day of the Women's March, as McIndoe ad-libbed his conspiracy to whoever would listen, he had no plan. He was talking about robotic birds one minute and, quote, Hillary Clinton the next.
Yeah. Because
that's a real sign people carry around. He says, I was just saying things that were funniest to me at the time. I can imagine this must have been like the best day of his life, wow. right? This first day.
It sounds like a blast.
Right. Like, he has no idea he's starting a movement. He's just like, I'm going to deadpan the shit out of this. And I'm going to just say batshit crazy things to these other conspiracy theorists, like all fucking day long. And that will also have a nice byproduct of like pulling their attention off these women who are marching by them. But
yes,
he's just like, what's hilarious that I can say right now? I know. Bird poop is mechanized.
Yes, I think that one of the things he says in the video is that, and I'm sorry if you're waiting to say this, but I don't think it's too big of a spoiler. I think he says in this video that the birds, you know how you see a lot of birds sitting on like power lines together?
Oh, yeah. They're recharging.
He says that they're charging. Yes. He says that they're charging up on the power lines. That really got me at the time when I saw the video, the concept of them just like, you know, on the power. I love it. It's so funny.
Every bit of this is great, but I really love that, you know, on day one, he wasn't thinking any of this. He was just having fun.
He's a truly funny gentleman because like people, here's a little secret. You guys may not know this, completely unrelated. Homeschool people that have trauma are some of the funniest people you'll ever meet.
Yes,
I'm sorry for just shamelessly tooting my own horn in this way. No, I'm kidding. But They truly are an elite version of funny. So you're yes. getting something good here with this young gentleman.
That is absolutely true, because most of them didn't spend all their time watching sitcoms, and most of them read like a lot of older literature, right? Like the kind of canon of classical literature.
Yep.
But like for some reason, Wilde, you know, Louisa May Alcott, people who were wordy and witty, right? Mm-hmm. And so like here we all are. All
classics before you
all
graduate.
All we can do is start Birds Aren't Real movements or have podcasts.
Amen. That's all we've got.
So he says, it was a character based on the people I grew up around. I grew up in rural, deeply conservative Arkansas in a homeschool environment. I had these intensely negative experiences of it. I'm not a conservative person. At a very young age, I became more of an observer than a participant, which created a real loneliness from an ideological standpoint. Then he says, I'm sure that there are beautiful Christian communities that are doing good things somewhere. I'm not trying to bash spirituality, but from my experience, the deep and fundamentalist communities that I was in have caused way more harm than good, and I've seen pure evil coming from them. That's a realistic. Yep. Yeah.
He rocks. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love this guy.
Feel like this is probably, if you guys haven't picked up on this already, which like one, yes, I already kind of knew about this. And two, this is, I said last week, even on the podcast, close to home, literally for us. And yeah, I freaking love this kid. I feel like he is so eloquent. He is such a great answer to the stereotype of homeschooled kids from rural communities that exists everywhere, which is that they like can't hang in social situations. And this young man is out here, you know, he's carrying on intelligent bits on talk shows, but he's also being interviewed by big magazines at some point, as you're talking about, you know, and going on really big platforms that I'm sure we'll talk about, and just handling it with so much grace and poise to be able to talk about these communities and know when to be funny and when to not be funny, which is such a gift, such a skill. And he's nailed it. So I just have to give him some accolades there. It's a lifelong art for some of us. And Peter has really nailed it right from the jump. So
he really has. He also draws a tentative line between faith and conspiracy theory. The Christian worldview is really just about, no, this is his quote, the Christian worldview is really just about how you're determining truth. Where are you getting your truth from? What is your relationship with truth? For the Christian, your foundational relationship with the truth is determined by faith. Its definition is that you can't argue with it or interrogate it. That mindset, he says, plus the religious yearning for one single theory that explains everything, really softens up the brain. For conspiracy theories, that's something you need. I think there's an actual concrete example of this journey from fundamentalist Christianity to QAnon. The pedophile element of QAnon, where Hillary Clinton and a huge global web of powerful liberals are abusing children and keeping them in tunnels, sounds completely unhinged. But if you've been vehemently anti-abortion on faith grounds for years, then to your mind, feminists and other liberals are already in favor of murdering children. So the leap isn't as great as it looks. So then the article goes on to say, that's a really way better than I could have said exactly the juxtaposition between like this silly group and QAnon, who is anything but silly. And let's not forget, has killed people.
Yeah, big time.
And keeps trying. They're just like bad at most execution things. Like most executive function is what I meant to say.
Mm-hmm. Seems like it.
One more thing that happened on the first day of Birds Aren't Real. He says, I met someone. Her name is Madeline. She's been my girlfriend for 4 years. She's the love of my life. Yes, that's nice. We know you have a girlfriend.
We're getting over it. Okay.
We'll be okay. Madeline, just let him hang out with us. That's all we need. It's fine. So he says, ultimately, he decided to drop out of college, and then he went and lived with people he didn't know and worked at the richest country club in the South as a waiter. He says, it gave me a real window into how the 1% of Memphis talks about other races, since the entire staff are minorities. It was a very interesting time to start an idea about American polarization. So right at the time that he's working, you know, with the working class for the top 1% in his area, he is then developing the Birds Aren't Real movement and looking in real time at like real polarization. And so it's really easy to get the phraseology right if you're in that specific environment.
Absolutely.
Although Birds Aren't Real was very quickly picked up as a chant, getting the movement to snowball did take some work, he said. He said, we set up the Bird Brigade, our boots-on-the-ground activism network led by Claire Cronus. That was the first step in building a structural movement. getting it from Memphis to the rest of the U.S., getting people to put up flyers that I designate. He designed them very poorly on Photoshop, which works for the conspiracy theory aesthetic.
It works perfectly. It's hilarious.
So they basically look like hostage notes from the 80s.
Yes.
Because yes. That's exactly what the conspiracy theory. I mean, like, let me tell you,
it's
as a person.
So eye catching.
Yes. Well, I mean, I grew up with adults who were really into conspiracy theories. I've said on here, it is heartbreaking to me to see these adults. I just saw one come across my feed yesterday. Someone I deeply respected as a child and considered a parental figure to me had like some like prayer for Trump, like God set his heart on fire and protect him from the liberals and help him save the world. Like it was just, it's painful. It's painful. But what I'm saying is these are the people that I grew up with and they love a photocopied piece of paper with a lot of cut and clipped things on it that like when you stick them all together, create a completely different narrative than whatever they were cut out of.
Yes. It's hilarious because it's like, so this, I feel like this birds aren't real bit is perfect because it is both so simple and so complex because like it's actually quite deep. If you think about what they're doing when they're cutting a bunch of stuff up and putting it together to create something that, as you've just said, is not what they're creating, right? That's exactly what they're saying. That's exactly the point. That's the whole bit. It's right in front of you the first time that you see it. And also, it's more complicated than that, too, which I think is just a very fun. That's something that makes it, I think, intelligent, a clear product of intelligence because of how much it works, you know, like. It really works.
Yeah, which we're dovetailing nicely because the next paragraph that I'm going to read here says, meanwhile, real conspiracy theorists, he says, will approach me like I'm their brother, like I'm part of their team. He's standing with a birds aren't real sign. And they're like, hey, brother. And they will start spouting hateful rhetoric and racist ideas because they feel as if I'm safe, is what he's saying. So yeah, crazy. They really like, they buy right into it. Now he says that at this point, enough of like the word has kind of gotten around like, hey, stop hosting this guy on your radio shows because this is a joke. Right. So the word's kind of gotten around, but interestingly, and should come as no surprise to us, but it still does to me. So the real life conspiracists, that's a hard word to say. Try it at home, everybody. Conspiracists. They think that birds aren't real now is a CIA psyop. They think that the birds aren't real kids are the CIA, and they've been put out there as a weapon against conspiracy theorists. Bam, there it is. You cannot get out of their conspiracy web. You cannot.
I love this because basically they are just taking, they're just like co-opting the birds aren't real conspiracy and just making it the people doing the conspiracy. Like it's a very lazy extrapolation that they're making here. It's just like the government, they're still watching us. It's the people that were saying birds aren't real. You know, like what?
Right.
How boring.
Because they've had it on all their conspiracy talk shows and everybody took it fucking seriously. And a lot of, if they haven't heard of it, these people still take this seriously because I'll get to it. I bump into people regularly who think this is a real movement with real adherence. Yeah, so he says, I really like this analogy. He says, we talk about it like it's an igloo, making a shelter out of the same thing that's posing the threat, right? So the cold is the threat. So you make a shelter out of blocks of ice and then you have sheltered yourself. So you take all these crazy ways of thinking and you build a little shelter of for yourself around them. Take the materials of what is around us, build something with them, be safe in there together and laugh.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a good quote.
yeah, it is. I really like that. Additionally, I was going to say that there are birds aren't real t-shirts. There are birds aren't real stickers. You can just like walk, as you said, Amren, you like saw them around your college campus, right?
Just around town. Yeah. They were all
just
over
like
Springfield.
On telephone poles and think because there are stickers and there are flyers and people just get them from the website and put them up around because it's really fucking funny. And there is also at least one. I don't know if there's more than one, but there's certainly one. And it's been through this town. A birds aren't real van. Are you familiar with this?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
OK. Do you want to tell us about it since I've been yapping?
Well, I don't know that I have that much exciting to say about it other than the fact that I know exactly what it looks like and I've seen it multiple times and it is just like to my, and I'm going to let you expound upon this, but to me, in my experience, it's just kind of like a UFO tracker van. Like it has a dish on it and stuff. And it looks like a van that people would like pull you inside and be like, you have a biochip in your head and we have to remove it now. It's one of those, like a white van usually. And I believe it has printed on the side, just like in their true simplistic fashion, birds aren't real. Is that correct?
So it's printed on the sides like it's a bottle of Dr. Bronner's soap.
That's right. I forgot that. I knew it was weird. Okay, please expound.
Because now I don't know. I don't travel enough to know. I have lived in other parts of the world, but I don't remember now. I wasn't paying attention at the time. So, Amryn, you tell me you've been in more places more recently. In the Ozarks, if you are a crazy conspiracist, there is a good percentage chance that you are visibly a conspiracy person via your vehicle because you have either covered your vehicle in bumper stickers that say QAnon stuff, or you have physically hand painted with a brush and black paint things that people need to know. This is also something people do when they're really into Jesus. Is this an Ozarkian thing or is this more spread out than that?
No. And please, other people that have lived all over the world chime in, but I'm sure it's not exclusively, but it is certainly an Ozarkian thing. Okay. I don't see that out here at all.
You'd see it, if you were going to see it anywhere else, it'd be where you are in Idaho.
Right. And it's very important that you mention that. Yes, because I'm just in Idaho. I do see, as I mentioned on some other podcast episodes in the past, QAnon, like I see the elegant Q on trucks, like these big yeehaw trucks sometimes will just have like a Q and like an American flag. But it's always like weirdly classy. It always looks like they're like pretty rich when I see that. I'm always like, oh, you got money and you're racist. Interesting.
They don't want to pay taxes. That's why they
exactly. Like there's a lot of, there's like some exemption going on there and on multiple levels, I'd guess. And so we see that, but I do not see the hand-painted trucks here, which I will confirm I saw plenty of all the time. Definitely thought was a real thing. People just did when I was in Missouri, but no, I don't see that.
Okay, so
I don't even see hand painted cars out here. Like, you know how people like paint their cars with like paint that's not for cars.
That's what I'm saying about these people. They paint. Yes, it's like
they like free hand paint their car, and it's very clearly like house paint, like wall paint.
Yes. Something.
Yeah. No, I just like I've seen that like maybe twice here.
Wow. Okay. Well then, guys, for those of you who aren't in the Ozarks, please let us know in the Facebook group, Spiritual Besties, whether this happens in areas where you are. Again, I feel like this is a real cornerstone move of the disempowered to hand paint messages on your car. But people around here, not uncommonly, will cover their entire car with messages to explain to you what you need to know about conspiracy theories, because we're all sheeple, don't forget, and this is how they can educate us. So I pulled up a picture of the Birds Aren't Real van. Amryn, I encourage you to do the same if you are able. Here are a couple of things that I can see. Yes, it does have a big satellite on top of it, and it is a white van. So here are a couple of things that I see just on one side of it. There's a sign that says, every, quote, bird is a government surveillance drone. This is all... It's the exact.
Oh my God! It has "wake up" on it, doesn't it? I haven't seen it yet, but it says "wake up." I just had this like bolt of lightning moment where I remembered reading "wake up."
So, also they use like the like stencil letters that you get at Hobby Lobby that you can stick on things to spell out really extensive things. So this is made entirely out of stickered stencil letters. It says, "The United States government murdered over 12 billion birds over the course of 1958 through the 2001. As they killed off the real birds, they replaced them with surveillance drone replicas, non-distinguishable from a biological bird. There are now no real birds left." That's all in little Hobby Lobby letter stickers so stuck to the side of the van.
Beautiful. They also have here with, and I can tell this is mailbox letters, which is a unique format to choose. And it just says, and it appears to be the only mailbox letters on this side of the car. And it just says lies. That's just on the driver's door. In mailbox letters, lies. And it's below an elegant diagram of a bird with, the lettering is small, but I see microphone, wireless antenna is pointed to, the camera in the eyes, of course, speaker in the chest, battery near the wings, and inductive charging coil, of course, on the feet, because as it says on the bottom, on the mud runner of the car, birds charge on power lines.
In the far back corner, there's a decal of a bird, and it says, pigeons are liars.
Pigeons do be lying. It's true. You know, they're always cooing at you, and enough of that. No, okay. I love this band so much. That's all I have to say about it.
It's so great. Okay, this is my last little thing that I have to read to you. So in the interview, they were asking him about like how he came up with the background story for Birds Aren't Real. When he was like, okay, people are chanting this at football games. I'm going to have to make this a real thing. So he made like the background story. And there's actually a video. He made a video of it. Of the whistleblower, you know, explaining why he had to come out and risk his life and out the CIA. So he says, here's my narrative. The CIA was so sick and tired of the birds pooping on their windshields. So they're like, we're sick of this. We're fed up with this. Let's hire, you know, engineers to get rid of these stupid birds. And while we're at it, let's replace them with robots and spy on people. But then they took the story a step further. Every conspiracy needs a deep state whistleblower. McIndoe invented and interviewed a character called Eugene Price. Price is supposed to be a former CIA officer who buried evidence of the bird genocide and the rise of the drones. So the interviewer says, when you were hiring an actor to play Eugene Price, what were you looking for in an actor? And he says, the oldest man I could find. I was looking for someone who looked like they just had some guilt weighing down on them for years. Like I really wanted bags under his eyes. Sleepless nights.
Sleepless night. That really just adds to the credibility visually. Mm-hmm. I get
That's it. That is the Birds Aren't Real movement. So I do pretty regularly see, like, I will have people reference to me like, and I see it on Facebook a lot too. People will see the Birds Aren't Real van because it's rolling around. And they will snap a picture of it and they'll toss it up on Facebook and they will be like, oh my gosh, look at this crazy person that believes that birds aren't real. And then you'll get a slew of people that are like, okay, you always get several people that are like, you know, oh my gosh, that's crazy. Or like, I've heard that that's totally real. Like people are taking it seriously. And then somebody eventually is like, this is a spoof. But it's always just like comment number 20.
Yes. And that's my favorite thing about it. Because like, not to be too Captain Obvious here, but like, that's exactly it. And as somebody that grew up in like literally the same area, as we've already said 40,000 times as Peter, I get it. And like this stuff gets shared around, like that literally happens on my Facebook, or it used to before I did a massive purge several years ago. It would happen all the time on my Facebook where I would be like a piece of information and it would get circulated all around. Like I remember for a while when Obama was in office, when former President Barack Obama was in office, we miss you so much, sir.
Please come back.
Please come back to us. I need Michelle. When he was in office, there was a lot of misinformation that came around. And I know I'm not even going to bother repeating any of it because I think we all know a lot of the stuff that was said. But it would come around and people would literally like stuff would come up and people just wouldn't even look it up for themselves one single bit, which is, of course, we all know about this. This is why now every time you post something on Facebook and you're scrolling, there's like these little verification checks and all this stuff that came out of 2020. Mm-hmm. So we know about it. But it was literally rampant. And I would see so much of this just random sharing. And so it always tickles me pink when I see exactly what you're talking about and I see the birds aren't real thing being shared, because it is literally like a litmus test to see who of my friends is able to Google things on the internet before sharing them or not. And it works flawlessly. Like,
or to just pause and think critically for like 3 seconds. Like, what's this guy up to?
You have two routes here and both of them are like accessible and well trodden, in my opinion. and so many people just don't take either. And it's literally like an unfriend for me. And if you choose to put Birds Aren't Real on your Facebook or your Instagram or whatever in a positive way and you're in on the bit, it's a plus 100 for me because I love it so much. I love being in on this bit so much. I really can't begin to tell you how great it is for me. So
potential suitors, if you want to save money on chickens and cake, just wear a Birds Aren't Real shirt.
She's giving you all the ends, dude. If you're looking for an end with Jesse, you could find it here.
I'm making it really accessible.
You're making it pretty, you're laying out the game plan, and I love that. I have one thing I want to say about Birds Aren't Real that we didn't totally directly touch on that I just want to say for the audience in kind of a recap sense, which is that something that I really love that Peter talked a lot about when I was getting personally familiar with Birds Aren't Real is the concept of that Trump used a lot, former President Donald Trump used a lot, which is that of us versus them mentality, right? And the concept of like everything is an attack on me if it even questions what I'm doing. So a big tactic that he would use early on, which I loved, is he would just say things that were identical to things Trump would say.
I think he's still using that tactic like today. Like
this, I think he does too. Like he's already said the jig is up and he's still doing the thing when people, they'll put like an article out and be like, I think this man is like doing a comedy bit. And he'd be like, this is a hit job. And he would do like little things like that. And it would be like, it was interesting and it's funny, but it also has like this deeper resonant level to it of like just how powerful it is to make people feel that us versus them connection, which is something we talk about a lot with cults. And I appreciate just like the concept of him. If you just really think about the image of this guy standing with his sign, his nonsensical sign at a rally, like you were talking about, and people coming over and like just agreeing with him because they feel like he is one of them.
Right.
And all it would take for them to disagree with him is to feel like he was not one of them. And the information literally doesn't change at all. Birds Aren't Real is still on his sign either way. He still presents as the same human being.
That's good.
It's just the concept of like, you are on my side or you are not on my side, which is like, we reached such a level of polarization in this country in the last like 5 years and more, but it's just been building and building, it feels like. And obviously relatively nothing new under the sun here, but it's been really intense. And I think a movement like Birds Aren't Real really highlights how nonsensical that is. It's like just as silly to walk up to your neighbor and be like, we have nothing in common and I hate you and we can't even talk about it, as it is to be like, birds aren't real. The government killed all of them and no one's, you know, like those two things are so silly. And we shouldn't be doing either of them. But if you have to choose one, you should have a big conspiracy about birds not being real. Or the chemtrails or whatever, which isn't a conspiracy. But you can get into whatever you want.
I know. But, I'm always like, conspiracy theories, so stupid. 9/11 was an inside job. But.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly who I am. I'm like, yeah, conspiracies, that's not a real thing, except for the 49 that I know are true, you know, like, and the Loch Ness Monster. That's true, well, too.
And it's difficult because, like, COINTELPRO was a real fucking thing. And that sounds like a nutty conspiracy theory that Abby Hoffman, the wackadoo, like, was just throwing around. But, like, yeah, nope, that's a real thing. That's why we have the Freedom of Information Act. Like, that's so. Yes. There are really conspiracies, and that's what makes this landscape harder to navigate when China goes and really uses bird drones.
Right. You actually – that is kind of the other side of the coin, is that you do have to ask questions. Like, you actually have to ask questions because you can't just accept information as true. Point blank, that's the end of the story.
But you know what else is interesting? Like, okay, if I were driving behind – now, and he kind of said this in the article about him. He said, like – This very specific speech pattern rings true to conspiracy theorists because it is their pattern of like how we present the facts and how we view things as real. But for anybody who is a little bit more liberal thinking, there are obvious red flags, like right at the out, like, you know, pigeons are liars, like, what are you doing, buddy? You know, so, but point
being, rhetorical flags, if you will.
So, you know, when you see all these people on Facebook putting up a picture and going, look at this crazy person, why didn't that person have just the curiosity to take the next minute at a stoplight and give it a goog and go like, this is tongue in cheek. This is brilliant. Right. How funny. And then put up the picture and go like, oh my gosh, I just saw the Birds Aren't Real band. But they don't have that much curiosity. They just go like, in a landscape of like insanity, I just saw another insane thing. And they can't parse out which one is serious and which one is like a Monty Python level humor.
That's true. That is very true. I do think that there is some, we have to all just be at such a high level of consumer knowledge, I feel like, because of the level of media we consume. It's weird because I feel like the level of media we consume has jumped up so rapidly. And at the same time, we have not kind of had a corresponding conversation about our personal responsibility that's attached to that until a lot of it became necessary because of stuff like this. And it is just like, we have a responsibility to ourselves to have techniques that we use in order to identify what is true and untrue online as well as in person. And we have techniques we use in person. We don't always have them online. And I love what you are saying, because one thing that I remember reading about when they were trying in an article about trying to help people be better about identifying misinformation, as it were, they said to look for little flags like language that was quirky, for instance, like you were saying, like pigeons are liars, for instance, is a great example, right? Like that just doesn't quite sound right. Like that just shouldn't sit quite right in your head when you hear it. Even if you hear birds aren't real and you're like, okay, I'm buying the mass extinction of birds thing, that's a pretty big leap. But even if you're buying that, the phrase pigeons are liars is clearly tongue in cheek, because pigeons don't
speak the English.
Yeah, so that should be a flag to us when we're looking at the van. Maybe this is not totally real. And I sound like I'm being condescending or mansplaining. I'm not trying to. Rhetoric is actually a deeply confusing thing. And sometimes when we talk about it out loud, it sounds like we're kind of talking about something that's super, super simple. It's not simple in practice. And so, yeah, that is a really helpful technique if you are trying to identify, like, is this comedy or not, is trying to look for, like, almost footholds on the rock climbing wall of – does that seem like a silly thing to say rhetorically, and see if you can find a path of nonsensicalness, I guess. Trouble is sometimes people really do believe that stuff still, you know, but you don't have to, I guess, is the bottom line.
Well, I love that people believe that burns aren't real is a real conspiracy theory. And I wonder how many people have like taken it a step further even and gone like, are birds not real? Should I incorporate that into my pantheon of beliefs?
I know. And I wonder, I know that there are literally human beings alive right now that are thinking about this, you know, like, and they are considering it with real consideration.
Diligence,
you know?
Yeah.
I do think there's diligence being paid to this as a concept. Might I have family members doing it? Who's to say?
Ooh, who's to say? Same. Ooh, oh, man.
I don't know. Ooh.
My grandpa isn't around for this, because he would have queued it up. And I love that man. I don't want to have any more poor opinions in that direction. All right, let's get to the cult versus cult part of this action. We have thoroughly broken down both QAnon and Birds Aren't Real. Amarin, which cult are you joining?
Birds Aren't Real. not a tough one.
You really
for me.
Kept us in suspense.
I know. I really tried to wait it out as long as I could, and it was like really burning in my throat. I had to spit it out. Birds Aren't Real. I'm not trying to be too political when I say it's an easy choice for me.
Same. Let's talk aesthetics a little bit. So with QAnon, we've got everything is flag colored. So they both hate the government and love the government, depending on
back and forth
the moment and which. Like conflicting ideology we're believing in that moment. So when we're acknowledging that Biden is president, we hate the government, so why are we wearing flag stuff? But then in the next moment, when Trump is secretly actually president, then we love the government. But then like we don't like what the government's doing, but that part is Biden despite the fact that he's not. It's confusing, but they like the flag. In all instances, they like the flag, which is this bums me out as an artist. I was just lamenting this as we got on here because I'm working on my designs for the next year for my Lewd Linens business. And red, white, and blue are a very nice color combination that I basically just have to avoid because it makes my art look like a QAnon picture. So I can't use that color combo, and that bums me out because they do actually look good together. Yeah, Americana could be aesthetically pleasing if it didn't imply that I believed in lizard people at this point. Thanks for wrecking that for me. Cues.
Well, you just got to take it coquette like Lana Del Rey is the secret.
I'll work on it. So QAnon, let's see. They wear a lot of flags as capes, I've noticed. They really like visible weaponry.
Oh, yeah. Fun accessory for them.
Can't get enough of that. No. What else? What else do they wear?
There's ill-fitting clothing, unfortunately. I'm not trying to be a jerk. It's true.
No,
that's
it is
just
true.
Factual. It's lot of, hit a tailor.
A lot of crop tops that weren't made to be crop tops.
Yep. A lot of cut off t-shirt sleeves I've seen. I don't think I'm generalizing too much when I say it. I genuinely think that's true. Some good, I'll give them points. I've seen some good facial hair.
Oh, yes. Agree.
Lots of men at the group. Then see some good, you know, see some healthy stashes and such.
They like to get arty with it sometimes, which I appreciate.
Yes, I agree. So there is a point there for them. Now, as someone that identifies as a woman and is not trying to grow a beard or do any of that stuff right there, I personally, that's not really doing anything for me. But I will just kind of give them that nod.
Yeah, anyway, I like it. I like it for what it is. I'm not trying to date that guy, so I don't care.
But yeah, aesthetically, otherwise, it's not doing a lot. I'm not trying to generalize, but there are kind of a lot of like the lot of generic haircut similarities between the women I've noticed as well.
I've kind of like a similar.
Of course, there is kind of like a Karen-esque cut that is popular.
Very popular.
Out recently, but also like a shoulder length with bangs. Very common.
It's called the fuck bob. I know because
I love that. Actually, very cool.
I work with the youths at the farmers market, and they were explaining to they do your previous job, Emma, and running our social media and such. And so I was just saying, like, I'm going to get some bangs and whack my hair off, and they were like, "Be careful! Don't get a fuck bob."
Be very careful. Don't do that. Yeah. Are you talking about a fab? A fab?
I don't know.
A fuck ass bob?
Yeah, that's it. A fuck ass bob.
Uh-huh. I've heard of this. I'm not totally down with that lingo either, but I remember hearing about the yes. Okay. I was warned about that as well by a hairdresser. So if that tells you the danger I was in, I was in big danger. They were like, No, I'm gonna save your life right now.
Yeah.
And they did. I no longer have bangs and my hair is nearly tuned mine ass. So I would say definitely not a fuck ass bob.
Yeah. You're out of the danger zone.
Yeah, that's all I have.
Yeah. I tend to look like I just stepped out of like the Highlands of Scotland. So it's hard for me to
windblown.
Pull off a Karen look at any time. Yeah, windblown.
You're too majestic. Like no wind. Yeah, you just, it's true. And if you don't believe me, just, I don't know, stalk Jessie online. But she really does have this hair that always just looks like she's adventuring. And she's right off the trail. And I love it. It's a life of its own. It's amazing.
It's an apt
description. This is the last thing I'm going to say because I'm going on at length about Jessie's hair now. But sometimes we'll join the podcast to record and I'll be like, "Oh, Jessie, have you done something different with your hair?" And every time she's like, "No, it's just the same as it was." You know, like it's the exact but it's to me it is new, if that gives you any kind of just reference.
Yeah, it's just the really life it has. Is a living, moving creature with thoughts and ideas of its own that I don't even attempt to control anymore.
It's more real than birds. Yeah.
Yeah. In related news, a lot of people lately have been asking me if I've lost weight, and I keep weighing myself because so many people are asking me that, and I definitely have not lost a single pound, but I think it's that I'm happy.
Oh, so you're just carrying yourself in a way that says, "I feel good." Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, thank you. So, anywho, back to aesthetics. Birds Aren't Real doesn't have much of an aesthetic. It's mostly just young people. But let's do this. We know that the founder of Birds Aren't Real, when he's out repping his movement, he's always wearing a sort of Southern gentleman looking 3-piece suit, which I really, really
hilarious.
Like. It's yeah. The bet on his little 25-year-old self.
Yes.
And then of course we've got the t-shirts for the movement itself. So I think we might just
and the van
about the aesthetic and the van.
Oh,
yeah.
And also just the random ransom note posters.
That's what I was just gonna
that
say.
You were talking. Yes.
The badly photocopied. Yeah. So yeah, that would be the aesthetic.
Yeah, to me, I literally think ahead of its time. I'm not being ironic. I'm being very serious. If you've seen the Olivia Rodrigo Guts Tour merch, you'll find that it is like a girly pop version of this almost, in my opinion. I just feel like as you were kind of saying, I feel like it was very like late 80s, 90s coded, the stuff that they were doing with the Birds Aren't Real. And I feel like that's so in right now that I'm sort of like they literally got to the trend before, which makes sense because it's youth culture and youth culture is always just on it because all of this is youth culture. But yeah, I think that they really had their finger on the early pulse, which is cool. And even though it was weirdly done, it was very intentional, which gave it a synonymity, if you will, that was very, that's not even a word, but you know what I mean.
Synchronicity.
That's the word, but I think synonymity is actually,
I like it too. It
a
actually,
lot better.
It paints a similar picture, actually. So,
well, thank you. So you get my point, but I like, I actually really like the birds aren't real aesthetic. I'm not lying when I say I liked it pretty much immediately the first time I saw it. It destabilized me the very first time I saw it because I did literally see like a ransom note in a coffee shop the first time. And I was like, what the hell is happening? And then I immediately, the third time I think that I saw it, I was like, okay.
This is a thing. Yeah.
This is cool and I like it.
I want all their merch. I think it's the best. So and obviously I would pick them since I already came into this owning a t-shirt, so which I definitely like sent off and paid for. So I just think they're great. Okay, so I was also going to ask you two more questions about the cult versus cult. Question number one, what music do they each listen to? And question number two, what would each of them bring to a potluck? So we know that QAnon, we know the answer to QAnon. They listen to a lot of Jimmy Buffett and a lot of Kid Rock. That's real. Yeah. We know that.
Yep.
My assumption with the Birds Aren't Real People is kind of what you were just saying about like the 80s and 90s. To me, I think the Birds Aren't Real People listen to a lot of 90s like hip hop and also grunge. Mm. So I see them rocking out to like No Scrubs by TLC and then maybe like some Nirvana.
What about Beastie Boys? Maybe put that in there. Does that feel good?
Because
I'm liking that aesthetic as well.
Beastie Boys also do like they rock the three piece suit quite a bit.
They do.
If we're going,
I think that there's actually a pretty cool vibe match going on with them now that I'm thinking about it. But I do. Okay, yeah. So I'm loving that. I have a really, this is so weird, but when you asked the question about the potluck thing, it felt that I immediately had an answer for the Birds Aren't Real People. I can't justify this to you in any way, shape, or form.
That's how I felt
this
about music.
This is so bizarre. Uh-huh. Okay, good. I felt that it would be Swedish Meatballs. Don't know why. Just needed to share that that was my immediate instinct. I don't even know if I think that's right, but it is my gut response.
Birds Aren't Real People, reach out to us and let us know if you are Swedish meatball people. I don't know if that means you shop at IKEA a lot and you like their specific kind, which I remember liking. I assumed that they would bring like a lot of 1950s Jell-O aspics only because they're so into irony.
That's a good read as well. Now, I find myself in this position where I just desperately want to know what they would bring
to potluck. We really need to know this. Birds Aren't Real People. Get in touch. Listen, we're all in the Ozarks. We're all on the same team. Let us know what you'd bring to a potluck. Or, alternately, come to a potluck with us.
Okay, yeah. Ideally, what you do is you agree to be part of our culty community potluck, which is, I guess, happening now because we've said it and I desperately need it to. Mm-hmm. So when we're assembling all the cult leaders, we ask you to join. It's going to be, I'm worried about who else may be there now that I'm imagining this, but we
for
hope
clarity,
to see
I have Alpha Gal. So if we're potlucking, just label it, but if it has a mammal in it, maybe a turkey meatball for me would be great. What's QAnon bringing to the potluck? 100% wieners and pork and beans.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a good read. Chili.
Salty crackers like, with butter on them.
Yep, like flavorless chili is what I'm talking about. Like, you know what I mean. I'm not talking chili, like well-made chili. I'm talking about the chili that
like
you
cooked
that
in
you
a
would
can
just have.
Over a hobo fire.
Precisely. Just like canned chili.
Like warm beans.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
No spice. And there's no spice in any of these foods.
And no seasoning at all.
No.
Okay, we're talking seasoning with like butter. And you might get a little salt in there. Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah,
they could have like, and this does
sugar,
hurt
though.
Me to
high
say.
Sugar content.
Yep. This does hurt me to say. Maybe okra. I do love okra, but I recognize its traumatic ties to
I
the
entire
fundamental
quart
community.
Of dehydrated okra today. That was my snack.
I want dehydrated okra. Now.
It's the Ozarks,
dude. If no one believes that I like okra, this I don't know why this would convince you, but because I'm still just telling you this, and you'd have to take my word for it. But I used to just run around as a kid just eating raw okra. That was my thing.
I did that too.
Yeah, I still miss it sometimes.
Yeah.
I I'm so sorry. I'm about to say something kind of traumatic for not farm kids, but if you're a farm kid, keep listening. I did this for a long time until I would just eat all kinds of fresh produce out of the garden until one day I took a bite out of some curly kale and ate half of a caterpillar. And that was the end of me and my fresh vegetable
munching. Let me toss this out to you. I used to do that too. I also ate all the raw things out of the garden, and what a joyful, just truly joyful time that is.
Freedom.
But as I mentioned, my parents were not enamored of me. And so yes. Nobody was looking out for me. And I would go climb these mulberry trees that were all around us. And I ate a ton of mulberries too, best food in the world. But I feel better now that I know that birds aren't real, because I felt guilt about this previously, but I would get a bird's nest out of a tree and use it as a bowl and fill it with the raw things that I picked, and then eat from the bird's nest all day as if it was a bowl, which sounds like really cool and fae-like, I guess, but like that is I'm literally lucky I'm alive. Like the number of bird, like
it's germs, true, but I'm shocked you weren't. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot that could have happened there.
It's horrifying. And my parents, I don't know where they were. I was just in trees, literally eating out of bird's nests like they were bowls. Because I thought that was cool to do.
Interesting.
I'm glad.
One might even call it heartbreaking. Just, I'm kidding. I'm joking.
We'll find out.
Listeners, let us know in your next review. Just kidding. Yes, that is... We're just little wildlings, you shouldn't be worried ultimately because birds aren't real.
So I wasn't stealing their ancestral home.
If anything, the government was getting some good surveillance of your insides.
They were like, man, this 6-year-old, really.
We don't need this much info on this 6-year-old. Right.
Why does she keep eating boogers?
Yeah, they're like sending all the birds away from that area. They're like, we've got enough intel on this kid. Yeah.
Mission accomplished. Move on. All right, so what else would QAnon bring to the potluck? Anything? Fried bologna sandwiches. Kool-Aid.
Kool-Aid's a good one.
Yeah.
That lemonade that is Kool-Aid mix, yes. Basically. Or no, it's not. What is that called? Country Time. Lemonade.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like neon yellow, mm-hmm. and that.
I think that's
maybe macaroni salad.
Right. But not a good,
again.
Yeah.
No seasoning. Because like all of these foods, like if you're like, what I love, that's not what I'm talking about.
You're not, that's not, yeah.
Yeah, and also, I'm not trying to be elitist or rude here, but if you've never been to an actual potluck, I don't know if you can have input on this. That sounds very exclusionary, but potlucks are such a particular vibe,
yeah.
And the food that comes to a potluck is such a specific type of food.
Yes,
like,
to the
I don't know, a potluck
in.
Green bean is, it's a weird, it can either be way better or way worse.
I'll say this alternately. Again, having grown up with people who now have like lost their souls to the QAnon movement and have become people I don't recognize, right. Having in fact gone to countless potlucks with these exact people, if you went to their potluck, rice and lentil pilaf, number one ingredient in everything, rice and lentil pilaf, because you get it in bulk from like end of world places, like it's survivalist food.
Yes.
So rice and lentil pilaf for everything. They swear it's the perfect protein. It's dirt cheap. It feeds your 27 children. That's going to be the basis of every meal if it's the QAnon people that I grew up with. Just FYI.
Fair enough.
They're hard pressed to find something that won't have rice and lentil pilaf as a main ingredient.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Had a lot of Spanish rice. Which is not Spanish rice is dirty rice, and there's nothing Spanish about it.
Or tomatoes. Yep.
Yeah, it just has tomatoes in it. It's usually just canned tomatoes and rice. not great cook. Also, just like hamburgers.
Mm-hmm.
And
or
I don't mean
meat. Like
that's okay, and that's exactly what I was going to clarify to say to you, Jesse. Yeah. Is I do not mean hamburgers like a sandwich. I just mean slabs of hamburger meat. Stacked on a plate and maybe no buns. Did you experience this? I did. Why?
Oh, yeah. Solace.
Why just meat?
Solace still makes fun of me because I obviously came up poor because I use bread for hamburger buns, hot dog buns. And he's like, these are separate bread products. And I'm like,
yes.
You're too bougie and you need to tone it down.
What do you mean separate bread products? I didn't buy a hot dog bun until I was like an adult, I don't think. That's probably dramatic, but I was definitely like in high school. Also, like, I don't know. I grew up a different kind of, not different from you, but like I just grew up like a very specific type of person. and my mom would like make like lentil bread.
Yes. Oh, for sure.
Stuff, you know, and it would be like, these are now hot dog buns. Mm-hmm. And you'd just be like, okay. You know, like, it was so wasted on me as a child. That's a real sidebar. But like, you know, what was I thinking? I was eating some of the best food ever. And as a child, you're just like, lentil bun for hot dog? Dumb. I want stupid processed white wheat.
Yeah.
Now definitely. What my gut would do for a lentil bun.
It's true. I grew up eating that way too. And I have to say, like, for all the shit I talk on my parents, they educated me well and they fed me like excellently healthy food. Ugh, excellently
love
healthy
that.
Food.
That's why we're smart.
When they let me sleep in the house. So
well, I gotta get when you weren't out in the fields eating from bird nest balls, I suppose. The other meals were pretty good. Am I right?
Yeah.
That's gonna be our t-shirt. Cold Side Join, it all started with the bird nest bowls.
No. Behold, she's still alive.
It's impressive. It's impressive. I bet your immune system is insane. I bet it is ready to roll.
Inside, I'm like a cast iron skillet.
Heck yes. That is so great.
All right. Yeah. So, all right. In a fight, we're wrapping this up. This is the last question. In a fight, QAnon or Birds Aren't Real, who's winning? This is not a battle of the wits. That would go to Birds Aren't Real.
Oh, it's QAnon, unfortunately. I have bad news. Birds Aren't Real is getting trounced. Call me in, boys. If QAnon comes, I will come back you up. But y'all aren't going to make it by yourselves. You need some, even with your Ozarkian knowledge to boot, if you will.
Right.
And your scrappiness. No. And of course, in a battle of the wits, you're the quick draw. But we're not talking that.
No.
And you're not... You probably don't have enough ammunition for what we're talking about. Now, I don't want to give too much credit to the QAnon people, just to be clear, because a lot of them, I don't know. It's a mix. Because like half those dudes somehow, I don't know how this is possible, but half of them are like ex-Marines. And then, maybe a third of them, half is too extreme, but a third of them, another third of them are lying about being ex-Marines. Yes. And then you have like a bunch of guys that don't know anything about weaponry. They just walk around with it, you know, like bad,
the most
bad everything.
Yeah,
really scary stuff. So it's hard to know what it depends on the people you run into in the group, I'd say,
but
I still think QAnon.
Yeah, well, I think across the board, QAnon wins no matter what kind of prep the other side is doing, because here's what I know about QAnon, and I know this, they'll fight dirty. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how well-armed you are.
Right.
It doesn't matter how strong you are. QAnon will fight dirty. So they're going to win. Sorry.
You can't win. Birds Aren't Real. It's better that you avoid it entirely and don't even do it. Yeah. Yeah.
Where QAnon is unarmed.
Yeah.
That's
pretty much where you got to keep it.
That has been our first and hopefully not our last cult versus cult. QAnon versus Birds Aren't Real.
Let us know in the Bessies group how you feel, which you would join. I'm just kidding. I feel like that's not going to be a super big slant.
Not going to be a controversial question, but let's go with some pros and cons for who would win in a fight. All right.
I think that's probably the direction to go. We should look at the pros and the cons, do a little outside research, look up the van. I may pop a little picture eventually into the group.
Top notch.
Interesting stuff. But yeah, stay safe out there and question everything.
Guys, for the love of God, stay away from birds.
Keep your eyes open. Watch back.
If it flies, it lies.
Hey friends, if you are loving Cults I Join and want to help us share the fun, here are some actions you can take. Subscribe and share the show on any podcast platform. Rate and review us on Google. This keeps us visible and gives an angel its wings. Or at least that's what our guru says. Follow us at Cults I Join on the .com, the Facebook, and the Insta, and then hit us there with all your comments, discussions, and questions. We really do love hearing what you think. Finally, a huge thank you to our co-creators. Editing and post-production is by DeverWeb, and the biggest thanks to the incomparable Miss Devin Spruill, our theme song creator and performer. You should go soak up her music right now. And that's it, y'all. Thanks for listening, and happy culting!